Welcome to Chaotic Harmony. My name is John.
This is Crystal. We talk about the joys and the challenges of teaching music in the elementary school classroom.
We share struggles, we brainstorm solutions.
And we would love to have you join us.
Welcome to another episode of Chaotic Harmony, episode 108. I am your host, Jonathan Seligman, and today we bring back the YouTube queen, the six with a mix of faces, Miss Sasha Stone. Hey, Sasha, how's it going?
Hey, it's going well. Good to see you.
I'm adding names to you. Just like after the last time, it's like, you know, like your reactions. Perfect.
Yes.
How's your weekend been? Right now we're recording on a Sunday. So yeah, how's your weekend been?
It's been good. I went to a WGI, which is the Winter Guard International regional for percussion. My husband is a high school band director. Percussion director, so they had a competition yesterday and they got first and it was really fun.
Very cool.
And then this morning I am catching up on those chores that I neglected for the rest. You know how they just, there's like too many dishes in the sink, so
yeah.
I got some stuff put away,
some more dishes placed into the sink, right?
No. There's currently no dishes in the sink.
Hey, okay. Cool. Yeah. No, I get you, man. It's funny. I can only imagine being married to someone in an adjacent profession. Like, it's the same profession, but still adjacent, not exactly the same, but still I can only imagine.
Yeah. You know, it's a good time. Would recommend it if you're up for it. Not that it's bad or anything. It's just like our paths cross sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. For me, it's been a lot of, we're getting ready for a variety show coming up. So we had a Saturday session for, not variety show, but arts-based stuff. So yeah, the arts never stop.
They never stop.
Mm-mm. Nope. Well, anywho, if you listen to our bulletin, you listeners, our shindig that we have before every main bit of the episode, you might be expecting Genesis. But I want you to hold on to your fan mail and roses and all them good stuff for him, because he will be coming. We just had to reschedule him due to, you know, stuff. But this isn't the Genesis show. This is the Chaotic Harmony show, the back to weekly podcast where we talk about the joys, struggles, and all things adjacent to an elementary music teacher or being an elementary music teacher. A bit of housekeeping. Last week, we had our very unique conversation with Dr. Corinne Makapugai. She and I talked about community organizing, arts education from a parent perspective, and a lot more. So do check that out. Please. Next week, Crystal and I will be chatting about everyone's favorite topic, COVID. Hey, because it's been 5 years.
Insane.
I know. Can you believe it?
No.
A lot has changed since then. So we're just going to be chatting about what has shifted, what has changed over the past 5 years. Also, it is not too late to vote. It is not too late to vote. You've heard me. We have less than a month before we announce who wins the best video game list for the music classroom. If you're a bit lost, go to episodes 101 and 104, where our Rosa friends and I vie for creating a list of amazing music from video games that would be amazing to be used for Laban efforts in the classroom. So listen, cast your vote, and make the right choice in choosing yes for Jamie's choice of Flick. That was a good one. And lastly, on March the 10th, Crystal and I will be having our 100th episode celebration. Yes, the 100th episode happened a few episodes ago, but we'll be celebrating it then. So if you want to write in and have something to be read on air for that episode, email us at chaoticharmonyclassroom@gmail.com with the subject heading CH100. We'd love to read your memories and criticisms on air, especially if it's about Sasha's facial expressions during the last episode. All right. Also, this is a special announcement. You won't want to miss it. Okay. That all said. For the main attraction, Sasha, a few months ago, you were supposed to present at the San Diego Mega Arts Conference, but you didn't. What happened?
Oh. Well, I had food poisoning.
Oh.
And as I was driving down, threw up all over my clothes and myself and didn't have a change of clothes. So I was unable to make it, but you helped me out
and Matt
helped me out by going through my slides and presenting what I had kind of prepared, which I'm very grateful for.
It was a very unique kind of situation.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before. But you couldn't just, you know, like put some dirt on it and just keep on pushing. Come on.
I would have gone if I had a change of clothes.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I'm
I
glad you
think
didn't. I'm for your own sake.
I know.
And also for this episode's sake. I don't know if I would have had this episode. Heads up.
There you
But
go.
yeah. So you had to fill me in, just to recap. You had to fill me in, and like, and also I told others on this episode, on earlier episodes, that you didn't just have me speak on your behalf, but also I was reading a script that you had for me on your deathbed. You were writing out a script saying what I should be saying, which was very hilarious. And I think first off, there's a lot of people came. I don't know if you knew this. There was a lot of people who came, and they all were sad to see my face instead of yours, but they heard your words. That's the key part. But as I was reading your script, as you were dying on your bed, something caught my eye. I've always known you to be a teacher who loves the arts and a teacher who loves inclusion, but also I didn't know that you were a student who growing up had an auditory processing disorder. Do you feel comfortable first off expounding on that?
Absolutely. So, I was an IEP kid. I was that kid who was in, I had a gen ed classroom, but I was pulled out for a lot of things, for speech, for like small group intervention. I forget what that model's called. We used to have it at the school I'm at, but not anymore. Where it's for the big main academic things, you're in a smaller setting. So I didn't learn how to read until I was in third grade. And because of the auditory processing. So my brain just doesn't process vowels, apparently. So like when I'm looking or like seeing a word or reading a word, it just doesn't compute. So for years and years and years after we kind of figure this out, I had to go to these like speech classes where they like taught me how to say like in my mouth and everything, all of the vowels and what sounds they make, and then all of the rules and everything. And I'm convinced now that all the words that I know how to read, I've just memorized. I don't actually know how to spell them. Because if I have to spell something that's unfamiliar, I have to sound it out like how you would expect a first or
Phoneme-wise.
second. Yes, it's very,
Gotcha.
very, very, very slow, and the vowels get me.
Interesting. Okay.
And originally, that's why I was put in music, was because I was falling behind. My parents noticed that I was not completing things in kindergarten, first grade, second grade. I think in second or the end of first is when I officially got the IEP. But my parents really fought because they would say things like, "Oh, she can I like I could re I remembered information, like I could hear things, but then I couldn't complete my work. Like I didn't write and I couldn't read it, if that makes sense." So I remember my mom tells this story that I think I was in second grade. I'm trying to visualize it in my head, like what hall I was in, but I like told her, I like came home and I was like, "Mom, I finished my standardized test first." And she's like, "Oh, that's
That's
how
not a win.
that's not a good thing." So obviously we like did a lot of work with that. And
'Cause your mom's a teacher? No, librarian, right?
teacher librarian, yeah.
Teacher librarian,
Education is both my parents were in education,
By
so
the way, did you tell your mom that you won the game last time?
I
Was she proud?
didn't. No, she was on a trip when we were filming, so I didn't bother her.
Gotcha. Sorry to drill, but
Oh,
so
that's
wait,
us.
you were saying how your parents were noticing that you were not completing works, but they placed you in music as a way for what exactly?
That was around the time when they were coming out with a ton of studies about the link between math and music and how it uses the same part of the brain. So they put me in piano lessons because I've not really ever been strong in math. I think that was the first clue before reading, was the math skills, the math talks, all of those things just kind of went over my head. So they put me in piano to kind of help support that. And the rest is history.
Gotcha. Well, thank you for sure. I appreciate that, by the
Yeah.
way. And you also mentioned to me before we hit record that you like to share this to your students, right?
I do. Yeah,
How do you bring it up?
well, I've done it in a lot of different ways. So there's been times when students maybe tease another student for not reading something correctly, and then, pause the class, I tell them the story, and then ask them, "Would you have laughed at me as your teacher?" And the realization comes. And then there's other times, if I spell something wrong, I'll mention it. So, I mean, I don't go out of my way to be like, "Well, did you know about me? I didn't."
Fun
But fun
fact.
fact, my fun fact is no. I just kind of use it, like tell them about it, because I needed honest adults when I was a kid. I think, and I don't think I had that necessarily. I didn't have like adults who would tell me it was okay to struggle. And I want my students to know that it's okay if you don't know how to read. It's okay if you are behind in your math facts or your multiplication. Like, it doesn't matter. I mean, I eventually caught up. I graduated high school. I went through the whole thing. I think that I didn't have my AAP in eighth grade. Like, I was phased out of the special education track. And so, but I still struggle with that. I still struggle with that with reading rhythm sometimes. It's very, very strange.
And this is where Sasha's internet pooped out. And you don't want to hear me 3 minutes monologuing as the internet jumps back in. So back to our regular scheduled programming.
Okay, so the last thing you mentioned was that I got was that you couldn't sight read rhythm or reading rhythms was hard.
Yeah, reading rhythms was a challenge, still is sometimes, where I just like kind of flip the patterns, which
Is it the reading rhythms or is it like the hearing rhythms? Or is it
I don't
like if someone played
know.
a rhythm for you, a complex rhythm, could you play it more easily than if you had kind of read it?
I
Or
could play it
okay,
probably,
yeah,
but
all right.
then like when I'm sight reading, I always like make silly mistakes, like mistakes where I'm like, "Well, that's not good." That
Gotcha.
was ta ti ti ta. Like, so yeah, I think part of it too, is just like that there's like bits of dyslexia, like all of
Sure.
those things that kind of just make the your brain up. Just sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not.
So it's sad. Like the internet froze because I had a thought that I wanted to follow up on, but it is what it is. It is what it is. You mentioned in the session that while you're dying on your bed, that some of your favorite memories were not academic, but singing or connecting with just that you're saying connecting with my Spanish speaking peers and when teachers dressed up. So first off, did you have like in your regular academic classes, you I guess we kind of went over this, but you were mentioning how it was difficult reading and that like what was your academic classes like comparative to your arts class? How could you describe the juxtaposition? What drew you towards music and the arts more, or what was easier for music than it was for reading and math? Do you know? Other than yeah.
Good question. So, I went to an elementary, I was in a dual immersion until third grade. And so we did a lot of, I guess we would call it reader's theater type, little plays, little just acting to read and in Spanish and in English. And then I remember we got art. Sometimes I didn't have elementary music until fourth grade. We had band like once a month, and then fifth grade it was like I think every other week. And then middle school I joined band, obviously, and then the rest is
Obviously.
history. Obviously, I shouldn't say that's not obvious, but I was a band kid. I think for me, maybe because I could not achieve academically successfully on my own. I really leaned into that creative side, because we know that creativity kind of allows you to flex and push against maybe what is expected or what the norms are. And I was always kind of a outdoor rambunctious kid. Like I loved climbing trees and playing outside, and so I think you know, playing outside, you have your imagination and
Uh-huh.
all of that. So yeah, I feel like maybe I felt accepted and I was succeeding in those arts classes. I was never the best, but I would say like I was an average to maybe below average player, but I was a below average student. So, you know, but I felt success there.
You felt more success.
I felt more success. I felt connected. You know, I think when you have teachers year after year, that helps as well because you get to know them and they get to know you better. And so you kind of get to lean in on them knowing your needs, maybe. So, yeah. I definitely looked forward to band and theater and all of those things way more than having to go do math. I did like history though. History and science, I love that. I think sometimes I would wanted to have been a geologist, but I didn't know that girls could be geologists like when I was growing up. And so that's another thing I always say to my students. I was like, oh, you can be whatever you want. Girls are scientists, girls are engineers, girls are astronauts. Like, because I don't think it was intentional. I just think that that's just the way that education was in the 90s,
And
in the
so I remember.
1900s.
Oh gosh.
Sorry.
Don't lean into that. But so you said something, saying that actually reminded me of what I was wanted to say before the internet computed. First off, did you want to become a geologist because your last name? Was
No,
that it? Was that
I
it?
love rocks.
Oh, okay.
I
What is it?
really love
What do you
rocks.
like about rocks?
Oh, they're so cool.
Why? I mean, everyone likes different things, so what is it that you
Oh
like?
my gosh. Okay, so
Expound.
I love volcanoes. Like
Okay.
I would want to be a volcanologist. It's just amazing. Okay. But rocks are cool because they're made in different ways. So, you know, it's like a way of looking back in time, but it's just like a rock. And then you can have that in your house. Like, have you ever found a fossil before?
No. I mean, no, actually, I've not, sadly
Okay.
enough.
So, this is a tangent. I'm so
No,
sorry.
by all means, go for it.
There's this really cool beach up in Santa Barbara County. It's called Halama Beach, and it has a whole bunch of sandstone cliffs and everything, and you can find sea fossils. So I remember, like, as a little kid, my dad like cracked one open. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. And I don't know if that was got what got me hooked. I mean, growing up also playing in the yard, we live on three or four, 2 or 3, 4 acres, I don't know. But there's tons of decomposed granite and like these big rocks, boulders are kind of like exposed and you're like climbing all over those. Those are really cool. I prefer like igneous rocks, which are made by volcanoes, not volcanoes necessarily, but like from heat
Yes.
and pressure. So
S
those
tier
are really cool.
rocks, igneous. Now you know from Sasha Stone.
Now you know.
Rock science with Miss Stone and Mr.
Yeah.
Sadler.
Oh man, I'm obsessed. I have a lot of rocks.
so but the second thing I wanted to mention was you're talking about transparency. You're talking about like you like that wasn't something that people did for you growing up. And I remember when I was like first starting to teach, I had a relative who was an administrator, and they were visiting for the holidays, and the partner was mentioning, you know, if you don't like, give me a tip because I was about to enter the profession. It's like, you know, if you don't know the answer, just fake it. Or if you don't know the answer, don't show that you don't know the answer. It's like, why? Why would I not want to? It's like, and like, there's that paradigm, like, don't show. But I'm glad that you have this element with your students that you were transparent about your learning disorder because, you know, it opens up the, hey, adults don't have to have it all. Because
No.
they don't. We don't, guys. Fun
No.
fact, we don't.
Yeah. And I agree with that. And I will always admit when I am wrong or if I've made a mistake. There's times when I say, oh, can we do that again? Because I messed up. And I think it gives the students the to be able to make a mistake and not it like, oh, I made a mistake. Guess what? We just do it again.
Do you feel playing devil's advocate? Do you feel like
Yep.
there you see students that when you do that, there is a level of less respect for you?
If it is, that's kind of on them. I would say generally no. I would say if students kind of have that less respect that they didn't have it before.
Sure. Okay. Good point.
So I'd rather be wrong and admit it for the 80% who appreciate it than like not admit a mistake to please the 10% that would think me less than.
I get you there. Okay. So you've been sharing about your past from the session, but also in the session you talked about what you do in the present. Like you mentioned that in your in the session that you try to recreate the classroom environment that you were taught in. You mentioned that the classes that really kind of garnered your joy for learning was this the colorful ones or the ones where you were able to interchange with students with a different language. What does that look like to you as a teacher? How do you try to recreate that in your classroom?
Thanks for asking that because it's a constant thing, right? It's something we're always working on, and I don't think that I have all the answers, but I do have things that work for me and my community, which is I greet them at the door every day. We have like a little handshake, so we either do like a heart, like the also hearts are different now. So I'm gonna say this is the 90s heart where you make a question mark shape with your thumb and you put your thumb and your four fingers together. Now our little whatever generation students are, it's your middle finger is straight and then you curve your ring finger to make the heart.
That hurts my carpal so much.
Yeah, same. But
Dude.
I did not want to get roasted by another 7-year-old, so I learned how to do it.
That's fair.
We
Of
also
course,
do fist. Yes.
there's also the
Yeah,
creating
the K heart.
the K heart. Also, I remember this recently.
What is that?
You're creating the heart with the rest of your cheek. So to our audio listeners, you create that same kind of question mark. And then you place it against your cheek. And so if you have a strong cheekbone, I guess, it goes and creates the second part of
Oh.
the heart. I don't know.
I don't. I have cute little chubby cheeks.
I have 30-year-old cheeks, you know. I have mid-30 cheeks. There we go. Okay, so yeah, there's a lot of hearts.
Yeah, lots of different hearts. And I not all students do it when we come in, but they all do it when they leave.
You know.
It just kind of sets the stage. Then so they come in every single class
Sorry,
we
you said
have
hearts, you said fist bump, what else?
fist bump and then the K heart,
Okay.
which my students don't really know, and so they snap and it's so cute. So they just like snap when they come into the room and I snap back and I'll take it. And then you have a kid who like will go to fist bump and then is like, oh, jellyfish. And I'm like, great, thank
Great.
you. Because you interacted with me.
Sure.
And if that's what you needed to get into the door, I, as the adult, should be able to handle that a kid just like psyched me out. I
Psych.
should. Yeah, like, right?
Is psych
So
still a thing?
I don't know. I
I
don't
don't think
even
it
know if I
is.
used it correctly.
No, you do it correctly.
I bet there's a new word
Sure.
that is going to come out that we're going to hear soon that means that, because I don't think they know what it means. Okay, so the kids come in. I have a focus video every single day, and I was nervous, not nervous about it, but I don't see my students for very long, either 30 or 40 minutes. And so I was kind of questioning myself, oh, could I get more in if I just removed some things like my check-in and all of that? And then I went to this CPI reframing behaviors PD, and they talked about the power of breathing to regulate your not immune system. Oh no. The power of
Circulatory
breathing to do your nervous system.
nervous
Okay.
system. Okay.
So the power of breathing and how it treats your nervous system. So then I felt good about having these focus videos. So the kids come in, sometimes it's belly breathing. We have a wonderful counselor on our campus, and so all of our kids know how to belly breathe. There's lots of different belly
That's
breaths. It's
awesome.
great. Or sometimes it'll be like a marble run or aquarium. I just find like calming videos, and then I put lo-fi music over it because I used to do like chill, like ambient chill. No, they fell asleep. So, but the lo-fi is like relaxing, but it like, I don't know, something's going on where they're awake and they're not laying on the floor. Then we do a check-in and they just let me know on their fingers how they're feeling. I have the same emoji slide every day, and then a would you rather. All of that, like the greeting at the door, coming in, the focus video, the check-in, and okay, sorry, I forgot more.
You're good. You're good.
So what I'm saying, all of my check-in, which is like from when they get to the door to when we start our academic thing, is like about 5 minutes. So we do a would you rather question, and then after that we say our class mantra, which is our expectations, and I built those off of our portrait of a graduate, which is communication, leadership, empathy. There's five.
I believe in you.
Adaptability.
Boom.
I have to say the thing. He said, "Glass, we're always kind. We use nice words and share our minds. We have another Oh, listening." So
There we go.
I
Hey.
had to say it.
Sure.
Sorry.
No, I apologize.
So that like I built our like mantra and my class expectations off of that, and so we say it every day. And now my school has something new called SOAR, which stands for self-control, on task, actions, and respect. So those kind of go together now, which is great. And then we end with a class song, which I teach to everyone in the school. So right now it's Three Little Birds by Bob Marley. And then in March, I'm going to change it to More Kindness. We all need
Oh
more
yeah,
kindness.
Guy Davis.
Yes. Yeah. So
So
that,
how? Sorry, finish that. Go for it.
I was going to say that whole thing is like 5 minutes.
Wait. Which part is 5 minutes?
Like, from when they enter the room to we singing our song, it's
Okay.
about
Wow.
5 minutes.
Wow. So that's really streamlined. So it's
It's
like.
streamlined, yeah. Because at this point, they have been doing that for 3 years. So like with the I would okay, maybe with first and kindergarten and TK, it's a little bit longer. And I will say with TK and kinder, it's a little longer because we also do our welcome songs within that check-in.
5 minutes. So the hand greet, and then the like the how long's the lo-fi?
Like until they're settled.
Okay.
So I'm okay. I'll say 5 minutes with a little asterisk because there's times when they need a little more time
Of
to
course.
just breathe and relax. And sometimes we'll watch for 3 minutes and they'll get settled. But then part of me was for a while thinking, okay, this is not beneficial. I'm wasting time. I'm not hitting all my standards. But then the other part of me was like, well, I kind of need to reset.
Sure, definitely.
I have several classes that are back to back with very little time in between or no in time in between, and
It's a lot.
I don't teach as well if I'm elevated. And then I'm a person with a fully developed frontal lobe, and if I'm struggling, how is this 6, 7, 8 year old who's just starting to develop the back of their brain? They don't even have their frontal lobe starting to develop, like fully developed. You know what I mean? How do I expect them to transition if I'm not transitioned and like brought back down to teach? They're not going to be ready to learn. So
Definitely.
sometimes we just take that time, and I think that it probably eliminate certain negative or potentially confrontational behaviors that could happen if they're, still on recess mode.
I like that. I mean, I had a few more questions before my final one, but I feel like
Okay.
I'm just gonna go right to the final one because it just flows like, because you're talking about like. You don't know if this is a good use of time.
Yeah.
You don't know if, like, there's also, you only have 30 to 40 minutes. And I'm sure you are not alone. I know you aren't alone. I feel that way. It's like, am I doing these things efficiently? And I feel we live in a society that really values the dollar and whatnot. And it's like, well, there's a huge call towards let's be efficient, let's be efficient to the point where you even have it. We have a pseudo government department dedicated to efficiency. And so, like, I know. That even the districts like to talk about focus on the child. The dollar speaks more, sadly enough, in the system that we exist in currently.
Correct.
And so, from what I gather, like efficiency is not the game, at least from our conversation here. Like efficiency, like it's what we like, naturally want to go towards because there's so much to teach in music, but it seems like efficiency, at least it's not a monolith. Like, it's not exactly a one trick pony that applies to every single classroom. We can't treat the kids all the same way. It's like, what are words that you would give to administrators or parents or educational sponsors? So, like, what's advice that you would give to them? It's like, to realign their paradigms. Like, hey, this is like, we like, yes, they need to understand how to read music, but also they need to, like, sorry, I'm stealing words from maybe mouth. I don't know. Like, what's your way to change that, to what are words that you would share to an advocate or a potential advocate that efficiency is not the game?
Well, I think our students are worth every investment we want to put into them. And sometimes I don't think we prioritize the right things for sure. I'm not perfect by any means. And there's definitely weeks or months that go better than others, the efficiency part of it. I think that for students to have meaningful connections and create foundational skills like communication, empathy, and I'm gonna say like being resilient as well. I think that you have to take the time to let certain things go. And if a kid needs more time or a class needs more time, I would rather not get if in the curriculum or the objective doesn't get reached, but those students leave feeling safe and supported and want to come back, then I think that that is what I would do. What would I say to an advocate or an admin?
Or a potential advocate,
Or
someone
to,
who's not on your side yet, but they definitely are someone who could help you.
Okay. I'm gonna have to try to phrase this in a good way.
You can, there's always that edit button. Control Z exists in this good podcast. Backspace is here.
I think that music is just the way we teach. I know several of your guests have talked about that. Like you're teaching kids, and the medium is music. But I think that I am preparing our students for the real world, for their lives, past education, their educational journeys, with skills that they can use for the rest of their lives. And thinking creativity,
You got it. That was it. Creatively.
creativity. Yes.
Yes. Boom.
Wow. I
Sunder.
think that the value of that will only increase as AI and technology becomes more advanced. I think that the individual still needs to have their creativity. And music or any other art form that students have control. Students are the choice. They're making those choices, and are working together collaboratively. I think that will make a valuable member of society.
I like that, but to throw a wrench, first
Yes.
off, yay. But also, let's say you have an advocate that, like, yes, they value arts education, but this whole hippy dippy stuff that you're doing, having them come on in, touching hands, whatnot, like let's just get to this stuff. You only have 40 minutes. Be efficient. Be efficient. Come on. What do you say to those? What do you say to administrators that wish to efficiently, there we go. It's Sunday energy. Wrap things up and get to the learning. What do you say?
Our students deserve to feel loved. And maybe I am the first person to look them in the eye that day and acknowledge their existence or say their name. I can't remember where I got this from, but it was brought up during the CPI training I mentioned earlier that I went to, that there are students who go the entire day without someone saying their name. Like from when they leave the home in the morning to when they go to bed, they have not heard someone, anyone say their name. That to me is unacceptable as a teacher, because I have the power to say their name and give them that love or that support that they may need. Which is not, again, that's a really hippy-dippy answer to the admin, but
But it's true.
like our loving our students is worth it. Giving them the time that they need to thrive, I think that connection over content is really going to benefit them long term in life.
And also to add on to that, I think like something that I've been talk I talked mentioned it with my episode with Corinne. Speaking the admins to talk, like I fully agree with everything you're saying, but to add to it, it's like, are they going to receive it? Are they going to receive what for the 40 minutes of music if they aren't even called by their name, if they're not even if they are
Why
not
would they
on?
buy into what I'm doing if they don't feel they belong in that space or are valued in that space?
I feel like there's a lot of people who have big megaphones about education and their thoughts on education based off of the education they received. And I think mentioning earlier about the fact that, or both of us mentioning earlier about the fact that there wasn't a lot of transparency amongst teachers. That's how they were taught. And they feel like they still got a good enough education. But we could do better. Like, if I, if I'm, yeah, we're just,
I
I think.
say GE a lot. My family
GE.
does, which means good enough. That's GE, right? I got one load of laundry done. That's GE. I don't think that GE is what we do for our students. I think that good enough is not enough. I think that they deserve anything to succeed, whether it be breathing for 5 minutes or going right into a folk dance. Meeting them where they're at, I think that that's a lot. And I know in my presentation that you gave, I talk a lot about like the students should be driving the content, not the other way around. We can only do with them what they will receive and what they're willing to give back. I feel like I kind of just talked in a big circle. I'm so
No,
sorry.
again, Sunday energy, it's all good, but no, that I hear you.
Yeah. So, I mean, and maybe if I was at a school with a new admin, well, I am at a school with a new admin, but I was brand new to the school and they didn't have a support for it, my voice would be different. But because I feel confident in my role at this site, and I've been at the site for 8 years now, I think that I probably have a more rebellious, not rebellious, that's not the right word, but like I feel like I can push back on those things and justify what I'm doing.
Yeah, not rebellious. You are more bold. You are more outspoken.
I think our students are worth it. I think like I said, I'm an adult. If I get yelled at, like I'm gonna go home and cry, but I'm designed, well, maybe not designed, but I can take that versus like a me snapping at a child. I just know how I feel as an adult getting yelled at. Like I said, I'd go home and cry, or not every day, but just like there's days like
Yeah, no,
that.
definitely, definitely. I
But
understand.
then you're talking, you snap at a kid and you yell at a kid or raise your voice to a kid or have some type of like negative affect towards them. They take it personally. They
Yeah.
don't, they cannot separate like how they feel from their identity yet. And so, yeah, I want to be that foundation. I want to be the person that they are comfortable with. And if everything doesn't get covered in a year, I mean, it's not. I'll admit that right now. I see 900, almost 900 students a week. I don't have enough time to cover every single content standard, but I hit the big ones. And by big ones, I mean like steady beat, tempo, rhythm, all through play, all of that. And I know, sorry, I'm gonna get some
No,
hate for
no,
that.
no, no. My thought is going towards something. Like, feel free to correct me because we're all just.
Okay.
I
Yeah.
feel like going back to what you're saying, good enough. Maybe the content might be good enough, but our
Correct.
value that we give to our kids must be more than that.
Correct. That's it. The content is good enough, but what we give to our students, yeah, exactly,
And
needs to
also,
be more.
and if it's not more than that, then we can never get to the greatness.
Right. Well, yes.
Because like
I
our kids aren't
agree.
gonna be ready for it.
No. No. And I don't know. They're worth the investment.
They're worth the investment, yes. Speaking in our, since we live in a capitalist society, speaking in our capitalist terms, they're worth the investment. They're
They are.
always rather good.
Yes.
I felt really ugly saying that, but alas. Cool. Sasha, there was a lot I wanted to ask you more, but I feel like those are like 9-part episode stuff as far as
Sorry.
advocacy and all that stuff. But no, I appreciate it. Thank you for spending your weekend to chat with me on this.
Anytime.
But there is more. We're going to get you more after the break.
I want to take a quick break and thank my husband Brian, who's been working behind the scenes producing these episodes every week on all of the platforms and on time. But you need to know that he is first a financial planner for Mission Trails Financial. Mission Trails Financial is a partner that seeks to guide clients in the journey to financial success. They believe that people need a financial advisor that aims to provide strategies for success. Mission Trails Financial helps people navigate investments, tax planning, and insurance. Imagine working with an advisor who isn't tied to specific brands. Mission Trails Financial has a fiduciary responsibility to act in the best interests of their clients by providing independent, objective advice. Their mission is to help clients accomplish their financial goals. As Joe Vitale once said, a goal should scare you a little and excite you a lot. Do yourself a favor and set up a time to chat with Mission Trails Financial. Visit www.missiontrailsfinancial.com or call 619-419-0238 to schedule a call. You'll be glad you did. We believe that leaning on professionals is how we get ahead. Check out the program notes for more information.
Welcome back. But before we get to our game, a hard left turn. Thank you, everyone, for being a part of this 100-plus episode journey, whether you join us back with Sasha's blue-haired episode. Or the first one. There's only been one blue haired. Bobby. Or you joined us today. Thank you so much. It does mean a ton just to hear from y'all just and running into us in different conferences or such and sharing your love about the podcast. It really does mean a lot. Like doing this stuff sometimes, like we just post it and we see what happens. So thank you so much. And it's also like it means a lot if you do support us. Like as cringe to say it does, it feels to say that it does. Like, and so, and it's also important just to support the things you love. So it's a good mantra actually for anything. But we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/chclassroom, and Sasha will be uploading her workshop session stuff onto that. So if you would like to grab that, you can just sign up and grab that. Also, we have special merch as well as other things as well for the classroom. If you don't have a buck to toss away, that's toss our way, that's okay, especially during these hard economic times. I get it. I do. But there are free ways to support us. Leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Have your kids with an exit ticket and just have, you know, have them. Okay, here. I know you got your cell phone, Jason. Pull it out. Like this episode, a podcast called Chaotic Harmony. You know, tell them to do that. Do it. Also, Sasha, have you left a review?
Yes.
On Apple?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. See, Sasha's awesome. Why can't you be awesome? Why can't you be like your sister, Sasha, huh?
Oh, my parents have never said that.
I'm saying it. So, are you older than me or younger than me?
Younger.
Okay.
But we're like a year.
A year?
Mm-hmm.
I thought we're like the same age.
I'm turning 34 this year, next month.
Okay. I learn
the day after our next workshop.
We're going to see happy birthday for you at the workshop.
Please don't.
Also, so also make sure it's 5 stars, only 5 stars, and also write a review like Sasha did. And if you do so, we will definitely read it out loud. Follow us on YouTube, the socials, all the likes, leave this episode a like and a nice comment. All these small things, just small things, really help us to make sure that the algorithms that hate us, you know, support us, and also that we don't get bought out by Google or Ask Jeeves. So please do the thing. That all said. Sasha, we had such a lovely time last.
I thought he was not going to have to do a game today.
Well, we just got to do it again. And even though you won last time, I think this time, if you win, I buy you a pizza. How about that?
Sure.
Cool. Awesome. So, I feel like next season we'll have to do something a little more like streamlined. But we're experimenting with this. We're experimenting with the whole chaotic feud. We're trying different things out. So this is Fake Sheet. It's our new segment where our guest Sasha has to guess books that are between real and fake books. Which ones are real? Which ones are fake? Should I call it fake book or fake sheet? Like fake, you know, I'm trying to riff off the notion like
fake, yeah, like fake book, like as in like the jazz book that, right. I got that. I don't know.
Okay. Let us know. So that all said, I have books, you have answers. So there's 10 books. If you can get six or more, you win that pizza bet. Or pizza thing. All right.
Okay.
Are you ready to rumble?
Yep.
All righty. Paloma flies away. Real
Paloma.
or fake?
Paloma.
Paloma flies away.
Is Paloma a bird?
I ain't saying. It's a theater, La Paloma from Antonitas, flies away.
Yeah. Well, there's a school in my district called Paloma. So, and I had a student named Paloma.
Oh, did they fly
Yeah.
away?
Yeah, because now
Okay.
she's in eighth grade.
There you have it. That's what this book's about, going to eighth grade.
I'm gonna say real book.
Paloma Flies Away, written by Maria J. Cuarta, written
Oh,
and
cool.
illustrated. So there you
Oh,
go.
I
Point
love
one.
when the illustrator is also the creator, like Eric Carles. Oh, I just,
Rest in peace.
yeah, I love that. Good for her,
Yeah,
for
no,
them.
seriously, it's hard. It's hard to do it, but when it's done,
Yeah, they're
awesome.
multi-talented.
Definitely. Peace Train. Real or fake?
Fake.
Peace Train. Written by Cat Stevens, illustrated by Peter H. Reynolds.
Oh,
It is based, the words
it's,
are
yeah,
the song.
the
Yeah.
song.
So sadly, it is
Wah
1-1. All right. But you still got more. You still got me.
wah.
All right.
Okay.
Round three. I'll wait, Mr. Panda.
Okay, like last time, I'm thinking of our levels book where we had all those books about pandas and polar bears and
Underwears.
underwear. I'm gonna say fake.
Fake. Let's see. I'll Wait, Mr. Panda. Written and illustrated by Steve
Oh
Antony.
no, I'm doing
Oh,
real bad.
no. No. So it is now 1-2. 1 point, Sasha. 2 points, the host. I don't know.
Good
All right.
job, John. I'm so proud of
It's
you.
okay. It's Sunday energy, It's Sunday energy. My heart will go on.
Can I get my recorder real quick?
Do it. When you give me those looks, it doesn't help me.
Kind of want to
With
play it
this,
on my recorder.
do it. Do it.
Hold on.
Right. Sasha's grabbing her recorder. Question is it going to be a soprano or a Garth line? We don't know. We don't know. Do you have all? I'm curious. Are all the instruments just behind you? Is this your workstation? I know she can't hear right now. Her headphones are off. Is your workstation also your music station?
This is our music room.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I have my marimba and all of my recorders. Okay, you want to hear a fun fact?
Okay.
This is not a really fun fact. Also, I think it's a fake book.
Okay.
Hold on.
My Heart Will Go On, written by nobody. You are
Yes.
correct. Snaps to you. 2-2. I can't hear it.
Oh no. Okay, well
Yeah,
that's good.
can you
Can you just like dub in some
you
like
want to just
really cool.
insert the like the do you want the good stuff or the bad stuff? You know the sound doesn't come from that hole.
Shut up.
It's
Oh my gosh, I totally forgot that. 'Cause yeah.
okay.
Okay, here's one of my life hacks for a recorder
Do it.
is I have a roll of blue tape, and if students are not playing like when they're supposed to, or they're like, I just put a piece of tape right here. So they still have to do their fingerings and blow,
I was
but then.
concerned you're gonna place her with mouth.
No! No! After I talk about loving your kids and like meet them where they're at.
Who loves juxtaposition more than, us?
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Okay. Well, anyway, here's a recorder. It has to make an appearance.
Can we
I think we should move.
try one more time? No, my
Okay.
heart will go on. Play it,
All
play.
right. Can you hear that?
It's muddy, but it's okay. No, we
Well,
ain't
now I'm
doing
playing Lord of
it.
the Rings.
We can't hear it, sadly
Okay,
enough.
here, just like
Ba-da-ba-ba. There we go. I did not know. There we go.
sorry. I'm so sorry.
Beautiful.
Okay.
2-2. So, 2 points, yay.
Two.
All right. Next off, book five, round five. We Are Golden.
Well, the pressure's off because I already won last time. So I you
You
can
got your shirt.
I don't have to avenge myself.
No, it's true.
However, I would like to not be terrible at this game. I'm gonna say fake book.
We Are Golden, written by Alice Soy, illustrated by Khadija Qureshi. So, yeah.
What's it about? Do you know?
Oh, it's about, you know Alice, right? Yeah. So, this is her book on Chinese girl embracing her, who she is, essentially.
Oh,
That's the nutshell.
cool. I love that.
It's a recontextualization of, Yellow Peril versus
Yeah.
being golden. We Are Golden. So, yeah, it's good stuff.
Okay.
Really good stuff.
Beautiful.
And also recently out in print. It used to be only on electronic, but I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, that
Oh,
FLAP
no,
Books
we're
is doing a
frozen
new.
again.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Can you hear me? Oh, this is a sad face. Well, I think Sasha's going to come back on in a bit. Meanwhile, there we go.
Hi,
Hey.
sorry.
Yeah. No, you good. You good. You good. Yeah, so I was mentioning how initially this is only an electronic book, and FLAT Books is now expanding towards more print-based stuff. So this is now in print. I have a
Very
copy.
cool.
All
Love
right.
that.
So right now it is 2-3. So next
Those
off.
odds are rough.
So you have to get 4 out of 5 correct. Got
Okay.
this. All
That's fine.
right. Deep on the inside. Deep on the inside.
I feel like the internet startup sound is playing in my head.
Real or
Can you say the title one more time?
Sure. Deep
I'm so...
on the inside. Real book or fake book?
Fake book.
Re Deep on the Inside, written by.
Oh, now you're frozen and
Oh
I don't
man,
even know.
anticlimactic. Oh man, we're
Oh,
hitting
come
these internet
on.
upsets. Let's see if the internet gods favor us. Can you even hear me? I don't think she hears me, is the thing. That's even more frustrating. Like, if she's frozen, like, visually is
Internet.
one thing, but like.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yep,
I
there
also
we
don't
are.
know if I
There
got
we
it
are.
right or not, so don't
Okay.
tell me if I got it right or not.
Deep on the
I
Inside,
didn't hear if I got it
written
right, so just
by
move on to the other. Let's move to the next.
Jonathan Seligman. You got it. Yeah, so you were correct. You were
Oh,
correct.
thank goodness.
All right,
Woo!
3-3, 3-3.
I thought
Okay.
it was for one hot second, I thought you were just like gonna troll me, and then you were very, very still. Because the internet froze.
Because yeah, internet's been a little choppy chops. Next off,
Sorry.
let's hoard some wealth. Real book or fake book?
Fake book.
Written by nobody, and let's keep it
Good.
that way. Score is 4-3? 5-3. 5-3. There's only two books left.
Just here for the lulls.
Yes, 5-3. 5-3. So you need to get, ooh, at least one of these correct. All right.
If I don't, that's okay.
It's okay, but also if you do, awesome. Circles all around us. Round 9. Circles all around us. Real book or fake book?
Real book.
Circles all around us. Written by Brad Montague and illustrated by Brad and Christy Montague. So,
Aw,
I
that's
know.
cute.
Yeah. And also, Christy here
Great
spelled,
name.
yeah, also spelled the right way. So,
Ooh.
it's a rarity. All right. So, congratulations. You've won now 2-0. That's awesome. Two in a row. But
Ooh.
let's just see if you can get this last one.
All
My
right.
love goes free.
Oh,
Real book.
I think that's a real book.
Fake book.
Fake book. You should
Oh,
write it.
no. Real book or fake book? What is
Oh,
it?
I think it's a real book.
Then you're locking in. My
Yeah.
Love Goes Free, written by Sasha Stone and Jonathan Seligman, if you're curious. But that's okay, because
That's
you've
okay.
won round two of this. Awesome. We gotta up the ante. Maybe we'll get like a mug. We should get a mug. Chaotic Harmony mug. Chaotic Harmony. What's the thing that's no longer popular? It was popular for like 1 month. Like the
Bitcoin?
big. No. Get out of here. Let's pour some off. No, the big jug things that.
The jug jug thing things.
Yes, like has
Oh, a
straw.
Stanley Cup.
Stanley's, yeah. We should have
Those
a
are
cat from Stanley
so.
Cups.
No, I'm sorry. No, don't do it.
Written by Let's Pour Some
Please,
Off.
please re. The point of a reusable bottle is to not buy a new one every time a trendy new one comes out. Please. That is the point of a reusable bottle.
But what if I left one at work and one at home and one?
I have one. And then I have a second one because the first one I've had for 10 years and it has a hole in the bottom. And so it doesn't keep my stuff cold anymore. But I refuse until it's unfunctional to use it.
I have
And
two because having 4 liters of water during a long hike is not a
well,
bad
that,
idea.
oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
So
That I
that's,
get. I
yeah.
just mean like there's like the Awala cup and there's this whatever, the
And the
Stanley
Chaotic
cup
Harmony Cup.
and the hit Chaotic Harmony cup. People are just fighting over that one
But
when it
it's true.
releases.
It's true.
So anyway,
Anywho,
another
so
tangent. I'm so
another,
sorry.
no, you good. You good, girl. Anywho, Sasha, it's been a lovely chatting with you. Even if our energy's low, the conversation was high, so I appreciate that. If people would like to chat with you more on this topic or talk to you about like what it's like being awesome, where can they reach out to you?
I am on Blue Sky now,
Biscuits.
at the Rambling Stone, and I have a teacher Instagram, Stone Music, and I think those are all my socials right now.
Is email easier though, or is it like
Yeah,
easy?
email is fine, which is it's just my first and last name at SMU, sasha.stone@smusd.org.
Awesome. Thank you. And you can reach at me at Mr. Seligman, MrSeligman on all the socials. I'm also a Bisky Bestie with Sasha. So like you can hit me up on Blue Sky. I'm back on TikTok. I don't know if I'm gonna still do that. I don't know. But
It's hard.
it's hard. Like it's nice. It's cool to get some unfiltered information from some things, but also like, dude, it is addicting. And so I gotta place that away. But yep, we're there. And also you can find us at CH Classroom on all the socials as well. Don't forget, write to us. Share us a thought, share us a memory. We're gonna be ha by March 10th because that's when we're gonna have our 100th episode celebration. So, thank you all so much for listening, Sasha. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, bye.
Bye.
The Chaotic Harmony Podcast is a joint project between Crystal Pridmore and Jonathan Seligman. You can find us online at chaoticharmonyclassroom.com. You can email us at chaoticharmonyclassroom@gmail.com and let us know what you think. Give us feedback about what you would like to hear in future episodes. We're on all the socials. Find us on facebook.com/chaoticharmonyclassroom. You can find us on Twitter at chclassroom, Instagram at chaoticharmonyclassroom, and you can even find our episodes on YouTube. Chaotic Harmony is the name of our channel. Special thanks to Brian Pridmore for his help with production and equipment. www.pridmoria.com.
Oh, man.
I feel like I haven't answered one of your questions. What's your
Okay.
soda of choice?
Coke Zero. Does
I
the
feel
job.
like that's like such a teacher drink. Like I, it is though.
You're not
Okay,
wrong.
Coke Zero or Diet Coke? Mac. Yes.
Mac. He's not from Boston.
Mark.
Mark. Mark. Oh. Any I need a brain break.
Do you want me to put on a focus video for
Please
you?
do.